Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
If you have previously thought that God's plan was just to take us to heaven, you will most definitely want to stay with us for another marvelous life study of Genesis with Witness Lee. God's plan is much higher than that, as we will see in today's message. And we have a life study today that may challenge some of our old understandings of God's ultimate plan for us. And here once again to help us as we look at Genesis chapter 49 is Francis Ball. And Francis, it's nice to have you back as always.
Thank you, Chris. It's nice to be back.
Today brings us to the final of 9 programs that we've devoted to this chapter, Francis, and what a chapter it has been. It's going to conclude today with a further word regarding God and man's mutual habitation, the New Jerusalem. Many Christians today are not that familiar with this term, the New Jerusalem, yet it certainly is found in the Bible. But they are very comfortable with the term and the concept of heaven. Are these two things the same, Francis?
Well, as you have said, the New Jerusalem is the mutual habitation of God and man. New Jerusalem is the consummation of the book of Revelation, and even the consummation of the whole Bible. This is not a physical city, as some think, as a place with some kind of mansions which the believers will live in and enjoy. They'll enjoy all the things that entice them in their lifetime. Actually, such a place as this kind of so-called heaven is not spoken of in the Bible. You know, years ago, in my attempt to teach the Bible to a group of Christians, I had the thought of giving a message on heaven. I searched my bookshelves and searched the Bible, but I couldn't find any scriptural basis for such a message. When I tried to apply Revelation 21, which speaks of the New Jerusalem, which I thought might be the description of heaven, I realized I couldn't use that passage because that city is coming down out of heaven. So I tried to apply John 14, where it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." But I found out that the word for mansions there is not the proper translation. It should be many abodes, which is the proper translation of the same Greek word in verse 23 of that same chapter, where the triune God would come and to make his abode with those who love him. So the abode there is the abode of God in his believers who love him. So eventually, I never did give that message on heaven. It wasn't until I heard the ministry of Witness Lee that I realized the New Jerusalem is a sign in the book of Revelation of the ultimate mingling of God with man, and that all the terms used to describe it are signs, are symbols, because the book itself starts out saying, "This book of signs." So these are signs and symbols to describe the actual consummation of the body of Christ, and is composed of real believers who have been redeemed, who've been regenerated, who've been transformed, even conformed, and even glorified and mingled with God to be his expression forever. This certainly is not the heaven people dream about, but it is what we believers are becoming, to be a mutual dwelling place for both God and man. So, Chris, I have to say a frank, strong no to your question. These two things are not the same, heaven and the New Jerusalem.
Francis, this is how, as you mentioned, the Bible consummates. Certainly, there is much here that requires our diligence and our openness to really receive what God has for us in his revelation.
That's right.
Let's join Witness Lee with today's life study.
In this record, Jacob's blessing began with a sinner. And eventually, it issues in the universal blessing and the eternal dwelling. Amen. The whole Bible issues just in these two things. The universal blessing of God and the eternal dwelling. In Revelation 21 and 22, the picture shows us just the blessing with the dwelling. The whole realm, the whole environment is blessing. And the New Jerusalem is the dwelling, will be that eternal dwelling within and under the universal blessing. It is so interesting to see that in such a short record of Jacob's blessing, it issues exactly as the whole Bible. So Joseph is the symbol of the universal blessing. And then Benjamin, God dwelling for eternity. God, in his inspiration to Jacob, in such poetry, still indicates another two factors. Jacob, under God's inspiration, used the breast and the womb to signify the producing life. In the poetic way, surely we can understand womb here signifies begetting. And the breast here signifies nourishing. And this is the producing life. It is so interesting to see that in all God's creation work, God only blessed two categories. The fifth day, God blessed all the living creatures, all the animals with life. And then on the sixth day, God blessed human life. This impresses us that God is for life. God is for life. God's intention is to have the producing life. So in this record of Jacob's blessing, you do have the blessing of the breast and the blessing of the womb. That means the blessing of the begetting and nourishing life, the eternal life. Amen. The eternal life is the highest, is the most producing one. You look at the picture that is given in Revelation 21:22. What is there in the New Jerusalem? A river of water of life. Life flows there. And in this river of life, the tree of life grows. Now you can see in the whole new heaven, new earth, and in the New Jerusalem, the crucial thing, the most central thing is the flowing life. Life is there. Something they're producing, something they're nourishing. Genesis 49 is poetic. You cannot understand it just by the black and white. You must get into the spirit. You must get into the very spiritual significance of all these poetic expressions.
Francis, once again, our brother Witness Lee draws our attention to the revelation of life in the Scripture. Just as the book of Genesis ends, so ends the entire Bible with the full blessing of life plus God's eternal dwelling. But pick up briefly this matter of the producing life that we've seen here.
Well, as we said a while ago, the New Jerusalem is a city of life. The terms referred to by Brother Lee surely indicate matters of life. He spoke of the blessings to Joseph as being, quote, the blessings of the breast and of the womb. This certainly indicates the producing and nourishing of life. Of course, this is spoken in a poetic way, so we have to interpret the meaning. The womb brings forth life. and the breasts give nourishment for life. In the New Testament, there are three Greek words for life, each one of them translated in English by life, L-I-F-E. The first Greek word that's used there is bios, B-I-O-S, in English, from which we get our word biology. It refers to the physical life. And there's the word psyche, which refers to the psychological life. We even get our word psychology from this Greek word. And zoe, which refers to the divine or eternal life. Christ is presented to us as this life, the zoe life. By regenerating us, he gives us his zoe life. This is his great blessing and produces life in us, the divine life, the eternal life. He refers to himself also as the bread of life and even the water of life. So by eating and drinking him, we are nourished and we grow by this nourishment to eventually become the New Jerusalem, the city of life. This is the greatest possible blessing to man.
Francis, that was a very helpful explanation of the New Testament word, life. And really, all of these life study programs really focus on God's Zoe life. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
The last atom of the blessing is God dwelling. It says the last blessing is with the goodwill of him that dwells in the bush. The one who dwells in the bush has a goodwill. He has good pleasure. This is poetic talk. Suppose you are dwelling in the bush. What is your goodwill? That someday you will have a better home. Yeah. Have you ever thought about it? You know, before the temple was built, the Lord was dwelling where? Bush. God delivered his people, the Israelites, out of Egypt with the purpose that they could build a tabernacle, then a temple for him. This is Exodus. In this book, at the very beginning, the main builder, the master builder, who was Moses, God gave him a vision. When God first came to him, where was God? He was in the bush. He spoke to Moses from the bush. If you read Leviticus, in the first chapter, I believe in the first verse, it says what? The Lord speaks from the tabernacle, from the tent of meeting. He was dwelling in the bush, speaking to Moses. But when he spoke to Aaron, he spoke from the tent of meeting. And that was his goodwill. I tell you, God has blessed the children of Israel all together with this goodwill. That is his goodwill to have his dwelling. What blessing could be better than this? You tell me. What blessing could be better than this? One day, a human being who was a sinner by the name Aaron got into God's dwelling. What other blessing could be bigger than this? Could be better than this? The top blessing is to get into God's dwelling and stay in his presence. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. No other blessing is so good, so great as God's dwelling. And this is the last item. This concept was there in the Old Testament already. You have the tabernacle, then you have the temple, and when the Lord Jesus became flesh, he was a tabernacle of God. And the whole New Jerusalem will be an eternal tabernacle. And that was the central, focal blessing among all God's blessing. The whole new heaven and new earth will be a blessing, but the center of that blessing is the New Jerusalem, which will be God's tabernacle. and he will dwell with us, and we will dwell by him.
Francis, it has been pointed out that God's highest blessing is that they could dwell with him in his house and be in his presence. Many in the Old Testament no doubt entered into the desire for this blessing, but it must have seemed far out of reach for them. Yet for us, as the New Testament believers, this really is our portion, isn't it?
Yes, I think this is a very interesting observation. We have seen how the Old Testament believers long for the blessing of dwelling in God's presence. The place of God's dwelling to Abraham was a city which he sought after. All the patriarchs longed for this blessing. The building of the tabernacle was for God to dwell among his people, the Israelites. The temple in the good land was the same kind of place for God to dwell among his people. Only by promises did they all have the hope of being one with God. Then one day, hallelujah, one day, God himself became a man, dwelt or tabernacled among his people, but still they could not dwell in him and he could not dwell in them. Then eventually, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the God who became a man, he died to redeem man back to himself. In resurrection, he became the life-giving spirit, and then came back to the disciples that same night after he arose and breathed his very life into them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He told them to abide in him, and he had already promised them that he would abide in them. Today, we can enjoy the blessing of being the house, the dwelling place of God. That's the church. The greatest blessing of all is yet to come, the fulfillment, actually, of all these promised blessings. That is the New Jerusalem, the mutual dwelling place of God with man.
Thank you, Francis. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's wonderful life study.
Have you noticed in Genesis, it says Benjamin is a tearing wolf. This is to the enemy. But in Deuteronomy, it says Benjamin is the beloved of the Lord. To the enemy, Benjamin was a tearing wolf. But to the Lord, Benjamin was God's beloved. Because God's dwelling will be in the territory of Benjamin. The Lord dwells between the two shoulders of Benjamin. Many Christians think that Jerusalem is in the territory of Judah. No, it is in the territory of Benjamin, very close to Judah. The kings came out of Judah, but the capital was in Benjamin. And that capital is the very site, the place where God's dwelling was. And it was in the two shoulders of Benjamin. This is poetry. Don't forget. It means a lot. Look at me. What is in between my shoulders? The head. The dweller's head. The very God who dwells in temple is the head. If we are going to take the Lord as our habitation, first we have to be his habitation. If there was no tabernacle built up, God didn't have any dwelling on this earth. So you can never have God as your habitation. When he has the habitation on earth, you have an habitation of him in his habitation. This is what we call a mutual habitation. Even in John chapter 14 and 15, you have this mutual habitation. Abide in me, this is his habitation, and I in you, this is our habitation. In John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus says clearly, he and the Father will come to abide with his lover. And this is mutual abiding. We'll be his dwelling, and he will be our habitation. you can see the last item of the 10 items of blessing is the matter of dwelling. So eventually, all the blessings issue in what? Issue in dwelling. Why God gives us so many items of blessing? Just for us to be his dwelling. Why God saves you? For his dwelling. Why God today gives you grace upon grace? For his dwelling. Why God is doing everything for you today? For his dwelling. You see, all the blessings issue in his dwelling. If you would listen to this word and put all this point together, you will see this is God's goodwill. And this is God's heart desire. And this is altogether what he wants. What he wants is a dwelling place.
Francis, this final portion today deals with Benjamin. I'd like to ask you to focus on one particular point here. What does it mean that if we desire to dwell in God, we must first become a habitation for him?
You know, I think this might come as a surprise to a lot of listeners who really love the Lord and they like to dwell where he is. But God has no intention to just snatch any of us out of this earth to bring us to dwell in him unless we first have become a dwelling place for him. All the blessings he has given to us is in order that we may become his dwelling place. Everything the Lord is doing for us and everything that he's taking us through today is really to provide a dwelling place for him, that he could make his home in us. Christians today too much care just to be able to go to dwell with God. That's the popular idea of going to heaven, to dwell in the so-called Father's house. But God wants to dwell in us. He wants us to be his house. All his blessings to us are for him to make his home in our hearts. Isn't that a great blessing? For us to dwell in God, we must first become a habitation for him.
That is the great blessing, Francis. Thank you for your fellowship today.
Thank you.
You know, the ministry of Watchman Nee has always had a defining characteristic, and that is that it continually points the believers to become aware of and to care for God's need at the same time as it ministers to us in our need. And this characteristic is unmistakable as well in Witness Lee's exposition of the Word. Today's life study was another graphic example of that. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.